Morning, my name is Charles Morgan. I'm with Word is Live Ministry. So glad to be with you again. It seems like these times come around rather quickly. The weeks go by fast. We live in some pretty upsetting times in many ways. We see the news, we see what's going on, and it's disturbing at best. It gets really tough. We see some prices that are just eating us alive. And what do we do? We got to focus on Jesus. We've got to focus on seeing people saved. You know, we got a lot of people too that are saying, well, this is the end times. This is this and this. We don't know that. And I want you to understand that we don't know that. We can see signs and say, well, this is it and leading to it. But if you look back in history, there are many people saying that. God knows the time. We don't know the time. We can say, well, these are falling into place and it sure looks like this. And I will say that. I see things that are unfolding in our world that's exactly what the Bible's saying, but I'm telling you right now, we don't know. It may be another 20,000 years. We don't have that. But here's the thing we do know, that throughout all our life, we should be working for Jesus Christ. If we're a child of God, if we've accepted Him as our personal Savior, we should be working for Him. And the rest is going to take care of itself. And if we don't believe that, then we need to get saved. And so today, a lead into this, probably a pretty poor lead in, I'm going to be reading about what we call the Good Samaritan. And there's so much in here, and I think it can apply to us today, tomorrow, all the time. This is Jesus speaking to some people, specifically to the Pharisees, who were very religious people. I want you to understand that too. Religious people aren't saved people sometimes. Religious people can cause some harm. Religious people can do some things that may have hurt you. If you're listening this morning and you say, well, I've been hurt by a church, I've been hurt by a preacher, I've been hurt by somebody in the church, that's very real. I understand that, but understand that that's not Jesus. That's not what He offers. And so as we begin to read, we're going to be in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and I hope that you read along with me, or I hope you jot down a note and say, I'm going to read that later. And just study it. The Bible says to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Not to me, not to your pastor, not to anybody else. And if you do have a church and a home and a pastor, by all means, go there. I really appreciate that. Okay. And this is in response to a man who's wanting to justify himself. And so in verse 30, chapter 10, it says, and Jesus answering said, so that's what I'm telling you, is his answering. He's answering a question. He's answering someone that has brought something to him. Jesus has the answer. Okay? I'm going to tell you that right now. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Okay, now we're going to stop. We're going to read a little bit more just a little bit later, because we need to hear the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, and loved that, you know, and he would add to it and flesh it out. And we're going to do that too. So what we have here, we have a man who's trying to justify himself in what he does and how he does it, his religiosity, if you want us to call it that, what he thinks he does for God. And we've got people like that everywhere. And I'm telling you, I've been in church all my life. My dad was a pastor, and I've seen the bad side of a church, and nobody wants to talk about that. Oh, don't tell people about that. Well, there is, because it's full of people. And I've seen those things. I've seen those religious people that were truly just motivated by what they thought they were doing for God. And they would tell you so. I do this. I have the best program. I do this every year. Whatever it is. And they would bring that out and just talk. And I've seen it just from the time I was a kid on up. And I even walked away from the church because of one time. And I just said, look, I can't do this. I told my folks, I can't do this anymore. I've seen this. I've seen the hurt. You know, I just don't want to have anything to do with it. And I had to come to the conclusion of this. You know what? I'm not going to church for them. They are not going to church for me. I'm going to church because Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. And the Bible tells me to assemble myself with those people. There are going to be those people that aren't like that. There are going to be those people who are loving and caring and want you to get saved and want to see you grow in Christ. So if you're staying away from a church because of that, please go and find you a good Bible believing church and latch on to those people who are truly saved, who are truly trying to see you grow, who are truly trying to work for Jesus Christ, and disregard the rest, because they're going to be there. I promise you. So we see this. He's answering you, and he gives this parable. He said, a certain man, okay, a certain man. This is a certain Jewish guy, because that's who he's talking to. Okay, this could apply to us, you know, wherever you live, a certain man, someone of your community, someone of your cultural background, whatever, someone that you can relate to, okay? He said a certain man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, okay? He was traveling from one town to another. And it said along the way, he fell among thieves. That doesn't mean that he joined up with them. That means that they caught up to him. He had something they wanted, and they wanted it so bad, they were willing to inflict pain upon him. They were willing to inflict injury upon him. If you're injured today, I want you to understand Jesus Christ knows this, okay? And I know there are people that are going to be listening to this go, I know exactly what you're talking about. He fell among thieves. It said, and they stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, and they left him half dead. Now that's very important. He wasn't dead. He was wounded. He was hurt. Folks, I'm telling you, if you're a child of God, there are people out there that are wounded, they're hurt, they're lost and going to hell, but they're just half dead right now, okay? And when they die, they will be fully dead in their sin. We have an opportunity, as long as they've got breath in their lungs, to teach them about Jesus Christ, to see them saved, and then to teach them how to live through him and with him in this old world. They're just half dead right now. Seek them and go out there and get them. I've got friends and evangelists. Brother Sam Moore goes out there, and that's what he does. He's called to do that, and that's what he wants. That's his whole goal, is to see people saved. We've got an opportunity. So they left this guy half dead, it says. Wounded, hurt, just beat up. Folks, are you beat up by the world today? Child of God or not, are you beat up by the world today? You feel like, hey, I get over one thing and here comes another? Yes, we do. If we're honest with one another, and I'm telling you what, people in churches are some of the most dishonest people that ever walked the face of the earth. And you say, why do you say that? Because you can walk up to them and say, how did you do this week? Oh, fine, fine. And you know they're not. But you know you can't be honest with them because they won't be honest with themselves. Let's be honest with ourselves. We're getting beat up just like everybody. We live in this old world. They left him half dead, hurt, wounded, down for the count. You say, what's that mean? If you're a boxing fan, they're down for the count. They're down on the canvas and the referee's counting it out, okay? If he'd been left there, he would have been fully dead. Now, here's what happens. A priest came by. In Jewish terms, and all these guys would have known this, this was a guy that did sacrifices. He worked for people. You know, he would help them atone to God. He was a religious guy. Let's call him a pastor. Okay, we can relate to that a little bit better, I think. A pastor. He comes by. Now, I want you to know this because it's very important. This man could have been dead. They didn't know whether he was dead or not, and they weren't supposed to be touching dead people. They weren't supposed to be fouling themselves with that, okay? And so, by religious standards, they're doing what they're supposed to. But they see this guy and this pastor, this priest, he goes, he looks over at him, he sees him. He knows he's there. He's not sure whether he's dead or not, but he's not willing to go and check. He said he passed by on the other side. He wouldn't even go over to where he was. He went around him, stayed on the other side of the road. Somebody else can take care of that. See, he wasn't worthy of him. He didn't look like he was somebody that he could take care of. He didn't have a lot of money laying around him. He didn't have possessions. He was laying there naked and half dead. He didn't have the desire to go and look at it. You say, well, you're calling that a pastor. Hey, same thing happens to them that happens to everybody else. And there are people that are pastors right now that shouldn't be pastors. And there are people that have gone into it for the wrong reasons. Maybe mamas thought they ought to be. Grandma thought they ought to be. I remember when you were a little boy and you'd get up on the box and you're not supposed to be God called. But this priest would not go over to him. Now this is going to start cutting. And people say, well, Jesus was so kind and he did all that. He would never offend anybody. If you don't think this was offensive to people, you're not reading this correctly. It was offensive to people. What I'm saying right now is probably offensive to people. I probably got some pastors that will probably listen to it, or somebody will call them and tell them, and they'll be mad at me. But, you know, use this to examine your life. And every one of us, I promise you, have been this guy, this priest. At some point in our life, at some point in our Christian life, we've been this guy. Okay, so he's the guy, he's the religious leader. And he passes by on the other side. Now Jesus says that another guy came out and says, and likewise, a Levite. He's a worker in the church. That's what he is. A Levite was supposed to work in the temple. They were to work in the temple and do things. So he's a worker in the church. He's somebody that, hey, he does the Christmas play. And he does VBS. And he does Wednesday nights with the kids. And he takes care of things. He bends over and picks up a gum wrapper that somebody left in the floor so somebody doesn't have to do it. He's the guy that does everything, that takes care of things, and people look and go, what a great guy. Look at him. That's who this Levite guy is. And they would have known that, they would have understood it, and they would have felt it. And so this Levite comes along. All right, man, we got it now. We got a guy that he's a hard worker, and he's going to come by, and he's going to take care of things. And I'm sure that as people were listening to Jesus, they were thinking, yeah, okay, this guy's going to do it. Priest, now he had a right. Yep. That Levite man, he needs to do that. He could set himself aside. Even if this guy's dead, he could do the ritual thing and not be around anybody and cleanse himself. But it said he passed by on the other side too. Wasn't worthy of him. Wasn't who he wanted to mess with. Yeah, one of his own. But man, he's half dead. Man, he can't do anything really for the church. He can't help out. Folks, I've had an opportunity recently to visit churches. It's an amazing thing to me. You can walk into a church and you can feel it right away. You can tell whether they're going to be friendly, whether they like visitors, whether they don't. Some of them knew me, some of them didn't. Some of them I said, this is awful. Sets the tenor for the whole service. Some of them I walked in, man, I thought, man, I wish they'd just let me sit here just a little bit because they were so friendly. That's okay. I'm not saying anything bad about that. But others, they didn't want to talk to me. Act like they didn't care if I was there. How is it in your church? How is it in your heart? See, because that's where it boils down to. How is it in our hearts? My heart. That's what we need to say this morning. How is this in my heart? When I see someone like this, and folks, I'm not talking about somebody that's hungry. I understand we have mission works and stuff that we feed people. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about where somebody had a burnout and you went and took clothes to them because you're such a good person. I'm not talking about those kinds of things. I'm not talking about the physical. Jesus is using the physical things here, but he's truly talking about the heart. He's truly talking about the heart. He's not talking about the things we do, our works. He's talking about where's our heart. Because see, where our heart is where the rest of us is going to go. How our heart is set up is what is going to judge us and tell us what to do. If our heart's right, the Holy Spirit's going to move us and we're going to react on that. Folks, if you're a child of God, you're indwelt by the Holy Ghost. And it will direct you, but you have to do what it's directing. And I've done the opposite before. I'll tell you right now. Left me miserable. And it wasn't because I was mean or I didn't think these people deserved it. Most of it was because I didn't have time right now. I didn't have time. I had other things to do. I fight that all the time. I've always got things to do. And so I didn't. Fortunately, I got reports. It turned out okay. But it wasn't because of me and obeying the Holy Ghost. So this Levite, hard worker in the church, pillar of the community, charter member, whatever you want to call, passes by on the other side. Don't go over there. Don't want to get involved. It'll slow me down. I've got other things to do. Things to plan. Can't do that. So Jesus laid it out there, and by now it's probably cutting to the quick. You know, that's that little point right there above your nail that, man, it just hurts sometimes when you get stuff in it. Then he says this, but a certain Samaritan. Now this is extraordinary that he would say this because the Jews didn't like the Samaritans. They were low-life people. They didn't want anything to do with them. Jesus went and talked to them, and now he's using the guy as an example. And he said, a certain Samaritan. This is a person, maybe they come to church and they don't have a nice vehicle. They don't have nice clothes. They don't have a lot of money to give. Maybe they work a lot and they don't really have a lot of time to do much in the church. Somebody you would look on and go, yeah, they're just here. Just a person. This certain Samaritan, as he journeyed. See, he was going too. He had something to do. Came where he was. Now, if you read that, it said, and he came where he was, and there's these two little dots there. They're called a colon in English. You need to stop before you start again. Stop a little bit. Just let it soak in. Came where he was. He went to him. When he saw him, he had compassion. These other two guys didn't have compassion. Why? Because they didn't have it in their heart. Man, they were doing what they were supposed to for God. They were obeying the law, and they were doing all these good things and following after these things and just doing exactly what they were supposed to do, but they had no compassion. This Samaritan, though, see, he had compassion on him. I love this. I got it underlined in my Bible. Because I want to go back and I want to look at it. I've got half dead underlined because that's so important to me. And maybe some other scripture there is important to you. But compassion on him. Where's your heart this morning? Where's your heart? Does it have compassion or is it just strictly dedicated to doing the right thing? And thereby you do the wrong thing or you miss an opportunity. So he had compassion on him. But see, that compassion wasn't enough. We look at, I feel so sorry for those people. We'll do something about it. I don't think I'm supposed to. You know, I've had people tell me all the time, I just don't know what God wants me to do. I just don't know what he wants me to do. Well, do something. Do something. When people come and tell me that, I've learned through over 20 years of ministry, that means I really don't want to do anything, but I want to make an excuse. Well, that's exactly what Jesus was answering. This guy was trying to justify himself. he was making an excuse. And I've dealt with all of them. Man, they've got some good ones. Well, you know, this and that, you know, none of my family, you know, and my job, blah, 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 you know, they'll tell you everything in the world except for the fact that I'm ready to do something for Jesus. You can do something for Jesus in your work. You can do something for Jesus in your family. You can do something for Jesus in your school or wherever you are. Sitting on a park bench somewhere, you can still do work for Jesus. This man, he had compassion on Jesus. He said he went to him and he bound up his wounds. Took care of him. Folks, sometimes binding up a wound is putting a hand on a shoulder and just squeezing to let that person know, I'm right here beside you. They may be going through a tough time. It may not be a physical thing, and Jesus was putting this across as a physical thing, but he was reaching far deeper than that. It may be a little tear that you shed for them. It may be the prayer that you earnestly pray for them every single day, constantly. It may be taking care of a physical need. He said he bound up his wounds. He poured on oil and wine to clean them out, to kind of start the healing process, cleanse it out. And he set him on his own beast. He didn't say, hey, feller, you need to get up and walk. I'm gonna ride this horse here. You know, you follow behind me. He's nope. Put him on his own beast. What'd that mean? He put himself at discomfort. He didn't leave himself there. And he said he brought him to an inn and took care of him. He didn't just take care of him right there and say, hey, somebody will be along now. I've got you where you need to be. No, he went the extra way. And he took him to an inn. And he took care of him there. Probably gave him a little water, maybe a little soup, you know, something to nourish him, to get his body going, to heal. Cleaned him up. Maybe put some good clothes on him there. He probably took his own clothes. And the Bible doesn't say it, but took his own clothes and put on him and put the blanket up there and said, you're going to be okay. Man, you're going to be all right. You're all right. You're going to live. Folks, we need to tell people about Jesus. We need to go the extra way to make sure that they understand that we truly believe this. That it's not just something we spout about, but we want them to know that Jesus is real. Took him to the inn. Now the Bible tells us going to all the world, teaching about Jesus and seeing these people saved. It says that. Yeah. We want to see that. But then we want to stop right there. Because right after that it says, and teaching them. After they get saved, we still have to teach. You can't just, and I've seen this before, people get saved, an adult gets saved, and they say, well, hey, you need to teach a Sunday school class. I've been teaching that for 30 years, and I don't want to teach it anymore. You need to teach that. That's the wrong thing to do. You need to be teaching them. If you've been teaching kids for 30 years, and somebody comes in and they get saved, don't go to them and go, you need to take over my class. Maybe you need to quit your class and teach them. Say, hey, we'll do some one-on-one. You got any questions about the Bible? Man, I had a guy one time got saved, and he was one of these unlikely guys. He was one of the guys that was hurt on the side of the road. He'd been in addiction. He'd lost his family because of it. He was in a hurt, but he got saved. And then I would come to church, and I would see him. His name was Daniel. I would see him coming towards me. He would be waiting for me when I got over to the church house, and he'd have his Bible open. And he'd come up and he'd say, hey, Pastor, he said, what's that talking about right there? I don't get that. And so we'd stop right there in front of the church, and I'd tell him about it. And later on, he got him a cell phone, and he'd start calling me and saying, I was reading this in the Bible, and I don't understand it. Can you help me through it? Yeah, I'll do my best. When he moved off, he got to be where he was. He was very learned in the Bible. He had studied and he had learned a lot. And he moved off and he would call me up and talk to me and tell me how he was doing and want me to pray for him. And we'd talk about scripture. We need to continue to teach him. And this is what this guy did too. Now listen to this. And on the morrow, the next day, he didn't just leave out and say, hey, you're on your own. On the morrow, when he departed, he took out money and he gave it to the guy that owned the inn. And he said, you take care of him. you take care of. And if you spend more than this in taking care of him, when I come back, apparently he knew him. You know, it's his story, but he knew him. But he said, I'll repay you. I'll take care of you. Folks, if we take care of those that Jesus said take care of, we cannot outspend him. We cannot outdo him. And by spending, I mean money, time, self. We can't do that because we have a reward that is coming. He's got something for us. He said, take care of him. Whatever you spend more than that, but when I come again, I'll repay you. I'll give you more. Now we're going to get down to these verses that I left, but I do want to get to. A little drink of coffee here. Verse 36. Now he's still talking to this guy that had tried to justify himself to tell who he was and how great he was. And he said, now, which of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor to him that fell among the thieves? Because see, the question was, who's my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? So he asked, he tells the story and he said, now you tell me, these three guys, which one was the real neighbor? The two that were his countrymen? Jews? Friends, maybe, that walked on by on the other side? Or this foreigner guy that everybody looks down on, that came and got him and took care of him? The guy answers him, and he said, he that showed mercy on him. Got it right. Got it right. All right. Hey, give him a gold star. When I was a kid in Sunday school, man, that's what you wanted. You wanted a gold star. They'd put them up on the wall, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't have a whole lot of them. I was always acting up or doing something, and it seemed like the little girls usually got the gold stars. But give him a gold star because he got it right. The one that showed mercy, the Samaritan. He didn't say the Samaritan. He said the one that showed mercy. See, the other two didn't show mercy, but he did. Jesus Christ. Mercy and grace is what he brought to us. See, we don't deserve anything. Jesus is the ultimate. When anybody's hurting, he is the one. When I hurt, I take it to him. Folks, we all do. We all hurt. I told you, you know, we see these things going on in our world. We're all hurting. What you need is Jesus Christ. Why? Because all sin and come short of the glory of God. Jesus is God. Because of that, the wages of that sin is death. But think about this. The gift of God. What did this Samaritan offer this guy? A gift. He didn't ask him to pay him back. He was doing this because he wanted to. He loved him. He had compassion on him. He wanted to. He even told the host, he said, I'll pay you back. Jesus Christ died on the cross at Calvary for our sin. Paid the sin debt for people who beat and wounded him. They couldn't pay for it themselves. If you'll just accept the free gift. This guy was in no position to refuse him, was he? But he could have said, no, you're a Samaritan. I don't want you doing this. No, he said. He accepted it. We don't hear this guy talking, but you know he accepted it because he laid there. The one that showed mercy. And here's what Jesus says to the guy. The guy that started all this, the guy that was trying to justify himself, he's heard the story. It probably cut him a little bit. The gospel of Jesus Christ cuts. To tell someone you're a sinner, even though you're a great person and you give money and you do all these things, to tell them that they're a sinner, that's tough on them. That's tough on any of us. But he answered the question right. He knew the right one. He said, that's the guy. That's the one that's a true neighbor. The one that showed mercy. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. The guy was trying to justify himself. He said, well, you know, if you really get down to technicalities, Jesus, I was doing the right thing. Jesus squashed it all. That's what he does with our egos, our pride, everything that goes with it. You know, our human nature, he squashes it all. Just smashes it real good. And then builds it back up. Because he's a potter. He takes the old clay and he smashes it down and says, man, not good, not good. We'll turn ourselves over. We take our clay, our lives, and we give it over to him, and he smashes it up and he makes something great. I've watched these guys make stuff, and it's beautiful. Do you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior this morning? Do you have compassion this morning? Or are you just a churchgoer? Somebody that does stuff that justifies himself. Well, Jesus says you're not justified. You need to be like this guy. Accept Jesus Christ this morning. Turn your life over to him. Find you a good Bible-believing church. Get in there and worship with them. You'll never regret it. My name is Charles Morgan. I'm with Word is Live Ministries. I want to thank you for allowing me to be with you today.